How many of you were around in 1998? Yeah. 1998. Titanic became the first movie to ever gross $1 billion. President Clinton was impeached. Two Stanford students started a little company you may have heard of called Google. And musician Bobby McFerrin hit big with a little ditty. Don't worry, be happy. Did the ring out? There we go. All right. Nobody in 1998 could imagine the worry that would fill our lives in 2022. It's remarkable what's happened to our world in the last 24 years. When you think about Ukraine, you think about things in Texas this week, you think about COVID. If we've ever had a need to worry, I feel like 2022, really this whole decade so far, has been a time to worry, a time to be filled with worry. Our scripture today conveys a really important message. It's actually similar to don't worry, be happy. And I just want to say, the scriptures would say, don't worry, pray. Is that simple? I'm a simple guy. Don't like to make things too complicated. So there you go. Don't worry, pray. Have a great week, everybody. God bless you. Actually, let's pray right now. Lord, we need you. We've already expressed that. We've sung it. We've said how we desperately need you, and we certainly need you in this day, in this hour. Lord, would you use my words to speak and communicate, not just to heads, but to hearts and hands, that we may be transformed by the renewing of our minds for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't worry, pray. That's essentially the message that Paul is saying to the people in Philippi, or as they say in Greece, Philippi. A modern, well, Philippi is a city that still exists today. You can visit it. My wife and I visited it several years ago on a trip, a historic trip, the Pathways of Paul. But Philippians 4:6a says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It's pretty clear, right? I mean, I looked this up in the Greek. You know what it means? It means don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Those are pretty strong words, anything and everything. So what this is telling me is that we need to worry about nothing, and we should pray about... I don't know if any of you struggle with this. I do. I mean, I struggle with it so badly that my wife put these words up on our bathroom wall. I see it every day. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Are you prone to fear or to faith, to worry and anxiety, or trust in God? Prayer is one of those things that everybody knows is a good thing to do. We all know we're supposed to pray. Don't you love that word, supposed to? You're supposed to. You need to pray. You need to pray more. You don't pray enough. It's like eating vegetables, flossing your teeth. You know, you should do it. We know what the right answer, of course, yeah, it's a good thing to do. But I'm here to tell you, family, that prayer is work. In fact, as some of you know, the city of Toledo, the seal of the city of Toledo, says it right there. It's in Latin, but it says to work is to pray. I can't pronounce this well. Laborare est orare. To work is to pray. Sure, a quick prayer before a meal is simple, but how do we pray when life gets hard? And it gets hard. We've been going through a series on the Alliance core values. We first said that lost people matter to God and He wants them found. In the second week, we said that everything we have belongs to God. We are His stewards. Even this $50,000 belongs to God. It's not real. You knew that. We said completing the Great Commission will require the mobilization of every devoted disciple. And yes, I've been tempted to take this for a drive, but for another day. And then last week, Pastor Donald said that knowing and obeying God's word, his sword, is fundamental to all true success. So today, we're going to unleash 5,000 praying mantises. Can you open the box? I'm just kidding. Now, I said it's work because prayer is work. Some of you know that. Prayer is work. Now, work doesn't necessarily have to mean bad things. It doesn't necessarily have to mean we suffer in the midst of it. Some of you love your job. Some of you, well, maybe you don't like your job as much. But prayer is work, and it's the primary work of God's people. It's what we as followers of Jesus do. We pray. We engage. It requires time. It requires effort. I've never met a couple that said, we've had a great marriage for decades. We don't talk or we don't do anything, but we've got this great relationship. We never spend any time together, but just magically, we have this, it doesn't work that way. Marriage is hard work, but it's worth it. Friendship is hard work, but it's worth it. Relationships are hard work, but they're worth it, right? You know, they say you get out of it what you put into it. I've heard people often say, particularly in the dating realm, maybe you've heard this, I'm just looking for the perfect person. To which I want to respond, are you the perfect person? I mean, you know, if you want someone that bathes regularly, do you bathe regularly? You want someone that is skilled and talented and educated? Are you? Relationships take investment. They take time. They take effort. They can be hard work. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was in a meeting with some people from outside the church, and a very good friend of mine, he said and did some things that were, I thought they were inappropriate. I'll just say that. I thought they were inappropriate, and I knew the person was not aware of what they did. I knew that they weren't trying to offend me or hurt me in any way, but they did, and because I loved the person and I loved our relationship, I had a decision to make. I could either bury my feelings or I could confront them with as much love and grace as I possibly could muster up. And of course, whenever you confront, there's always a risk. But I really cared about this person and I cared about our relationship. And so I decided after a couple hours of prayer to confront this friend of mine. And I said, you probably didn't mean to, but listen, some of the things that you said and did were hurtful. And as expected, the person was totally shocked, totally surprised. I had no idea. And I said, I just didn't want to get bitter. I didn't want to bury it. I want to make sure that we're on the same page. And the person profusely apologized, and we embraced at the end. And that relationship was reconciled. I mean, obviously, this wasn't a deep, serious thing, but it could have been. It could have festered. It could have gotten more and more amped up. Relationships are work. Prayer is work. But what really is prayer? I used to think that prayer was talking to God. Maybe some of you have heard this. You know, prayer, what is prayer? It's talking to God. And I really felt uncomfortable with that because what kind of relationship is one way? I mean, the only relationship I can think of that's one way is the IRS to us. Give us your money. Relationships. I began to think prayer is really talking with God. But I'm actually, I've progressed beyond this. I mean, I think it is prayer is talking with God. But I want to suggest to you that prayer is doing life with God. It's actually more than just talking. It's doing life with God. Marriage is not just talking to or with someone, it's doing life with them. My wife and I, there's more to our marriage than just our conversations. In fact, sometimes we have a wonderful moments not saying a word. Maybe we'll just be in a drive in the car and I'll be driving and we're not saying a word. Or sometimes I'll look over and she's sleeping, which explains why she's not saying a word. But there's a part of our marriage, even in those moments, that is It's positive. It's warm. It's a wonderful thing. I've grown to be accustomed to just being with my wife, whether we're talking or whether we're just doing life together. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but even when we're not in the same room together, we're still married. And I want to suggest to you that marriage is a picture in some ways of what a relationship with God is like, what prayer is like, because prayer is doing life with God. It's more than just, oh, it's time to pray. It's an ongoing relationship with God. In fact, Paul says this. He says, rejoice, always pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If we are to pray continually, how does that work when we sleep? It's because we do life with God, that He is with us. All of life is a prayer. There's actually more to verse 6 in Philippians chapter 4. It says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. And then it says, tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Two things there. Pray and tell Him what you need, and then thank Him for all He has done. I think we're often really good at telling Him what we need. God, help. God, I need this. Give me this. I want this. Please help me with this. And then we forget that next part about thanking Him. Tell Him what you need. Thank Him for what He's done. And I love this. Then, there's more to it. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Who wants peace in their life? Any of you want peace in your life? This might be one of the new formulas, one of the few formulas in the Bible, but it's clear that prayer leads to peace. That's what it says. Prayer leads to peace. Our world needs more peace, doesn't it? We try negotiation tactics. We call on law enforcement. We hire mediators. We defend ourselves. But there's nothing like God and His peace. Notice Philippians 4 says that God's peace will guard our hearts and minds. The word, the original Greek word, it's almost a military picture. Of like a fortress, like surrounding, guarding. When we thank God, then we're reminded of His goodness, His power, and His thankfulness. And we become thankful, rather. Our problems often seem small once we realize who it is that we're talking to. And I don't know if you've had this experience before, but sometimes, if I'm really honest, I go to God and I think, God, if you are able, .. And I can almost hear him chuckle. If I'm able. If I'm able. When we pause and give thanks, it reminds us how God has been faithful in the past. It reminds us of His character and His goodness and the fact that while He doesn't always answer my prayers exactly when I want them and how I want them, He has answered a whole bunch of my prayers. Because He is able. In fact, it says He is able to do exceedingly more than we can ever ask or dream or imagine. That's my God. So we need to be thankful and express our thanksgiving, and in doing so, bless Him, worship Him, adore Him, but also be reminded of the fact that He can handle whatever it is. Family, online, here in this room, no matter what you're going through, He's able. He is able. Should be obvious, but you know, the power of prayer is not in the person who's praying, it's the object of the prayer, or the object of the prayer, which is Almighty God. Doing life with God. I want to share a brief story let Pastor Soper, some of you know Pastor Soper from Mission 119, the Bible reading app that we go through. But listen to Pastor Soper share about what one man's relationship with God. One man who did life with God. Check this out.
His name was E.D. Whiteside, and he was the founding pastor of Allegheny Center, a thriving church on the north side of the great city of Pittsburgh. He was truly a remarkable man. He was an amazing evangelist who started his pastoral work by running a rescue mission in his adopted city, and who never tired of scouring the grimy streets and jails of the Steel City in search of one more man or woman who needed a savior. He was an incredible pastor to hundreds of people who he taught to love and to live like Jesus. Scores of those people actually came to live with Daddy Whiteside and his incredible wife, Annie. They actually became his family. He was a strategist, an apostle to that part of Pennsylvania where he lived. He trained and deployed a small army of men and women to blanket the whole region with New Alliance branches. Even today, there are more CMA churches in western Pennsylvania than in any other area of our country. And many of these can trace their origins directly back to Daddy Whiteside or one of his disciples. But the thing that he was most known for is reflected in the nickname by which he came to be known. They called him the Praying Man of Pittsburgh. The stories about the power and vitality of this man's prayer are legion. His characteristic response whenever anyone came to him with a problem was, "Well now, let's take that to the Father." Let me tell you just one story about his prayer life. At one point in his ministry, Whiteside and his wife purchased a home in a strategic area. The idea was that they would live in the home but build an addition off the front of the house to serve as a chapel for a new church. The plans for the addition were drawn and the architect was paid $100. But a neighbor objected, saying that the new addition would block the view from his home. Characteristically, Whiteside took the problem to the Father. As he prayed on his knees in an upstairs room, he felt God telling him to go downstairs. He went down the stairs. Then God said, "Go outside." He went outside. "Turn left. Walk down this street." Whiteside walked for several blocks. Then he felt the voice within him say, "Turn here." He did, and was confronted with a newly constructed meeting hall and a sign that said, "For rent." And for $60 a month, God provided a place for the new church to begin.
God had a relationship with this man. God spoke to this man, and this man spoke to God, and they did life together. How many of you want a relationship with God like that, where God would speak to you, and he would lead you, and he would guide you? Author David Benner writes this. He says, "Most Christians want to experience spiritual transformation, but many are frustrated by the limited progress of our spiritual self-improvement efforts. We find our praying burdened by a sense of obligation and failure. But prayer is not merely something we do. Prayer is what God does in us. Prayer is not just communication with God. It is communion with God. As we open ourselves to Him, God does the spiritual work of transformation in us." I think too many people think that prayer is just some super magic power to try to get God to do what we want. But He created us for relationship. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, He longed to have intimacy and relationship with humans. That's really why we were created. And He gave us a free will, because if you don't have a free will, you really can't love. He created angels to do His work and to do His bidding. But angels don't have necessarily the same capabilities to love that we do, to choose a relationship. Obviously, prayer involves communication, honesty with God, because He kind of knows everything already. And I want to suggest to you that it's important to experiment with prayer. I have to say, I wish I could stand up here and say, "I've got a marvelous prayer life. I'm a master at it. Let me just tell you all the great ways to follow me as I'm the greatest prayer person on the planet." I'm not. I'm a student of prayer. I'm on the journey. But I want to give you a few practical things today, because we all know, prayer is an important thing. We should. The question is often how. So it's important to experiment with prayer. I was with a newer friend a couple weeks ago, and I shared this idea with him. And he's like, "Experiment? Well, I've never really thought of that. I've just been frustrated by my prayer life because I do X, Y, Z, and I'm just getting bored." I'm like, "Well, that's not very surprising. I mean, if you took your wife to the same restaurant every single date after a while and talked about the same things, like how boring is that? You need to experiment. You got to try some different things." I want to give you some tools to get you started. Some of these are going to be new to you, maybe some aren't. People have talked about ACTS. It's just kind of a popular acronym to guide your prayer, to start with adoration. And it's a good place to start. We've actually started that way today. We just began to sing songs to God, songs of worship and praise to Him, acknowledging that who He is. Time of confession is really important. So often we kind of skip over this part because, well, we just want to get to our laundry list, the stuff we want God to do for us. But the reality is we need to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confession is kind of almost like the thing I did with my friend. I wasn't confessing per se, but getting all the stuff out of the way. If you've ever had a conversation with someone that was upset with you or you were upset with them, there's a strain in that relationship. And confession is a way for us to get right with God. God, I screwed up. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Forgive me. Thanksgiving. It's pretty obvious what that is. And we've already been told in Scripture, we looked at it a few moments ago, that we ask God for things, bring our needs and requests to Him, and then offer our thanksgiving. I'm sure you like it when people show appreciation to you, and God certainly appreciates our appreciation, our thanksgiving. And again, it's a reminder, it's a cue when we get to supplication or petitions or requests or whatever word you want to use, that asking for your needs. Once we've gone through this process, suddenly we realize who it is that we're talking to. God can handle this. God can handle this. He's handled all these other things that I'm thankful for. He's a creator of the universe. God can handle this. Another prayer tool that I recommend to people and that I found really helpful is a journal. And I particularly like this picture because this picture shows both a laptop and a paper journal. Some of you like pen and paper. I used to, but now when I use it, I can never read what I wrote because I don't use it very much. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. So all my journaling is done on my laptop, and I have this Word document that is, I don't know, hundreds of pages. It'll bore my children after I die if they ever want to, you know, read my life story. But I write out my prayers. I don't do this every day, but often I'll take my laptop and I'll just close my eyes and I'll just write out my prayers. And I do this, A, because then I have a record of it and I can go back and, wow, oh, I prayed for that 3 months ago and God answered my prayer. That's amazing. But it's also a way to keep me focused. I don't know how many of you have ever prayed on a pillow, either in the morning or at night. Have you done this? You start praying, and then you start dreaming? Or you start praying, and your to-do list starts going through your mind. Or you start praying, and you realize you forgot to do something, or you're just bored, or your mind has drifted in a million places. When you're writing a letter, when you're writing a journal, when you're sending an email or a text, it's hard to get distracted. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I've texted, I don't know that I've ever had an experience where I texted someone in the middle of my text, I got distracted and thought of something else. No, because when I'm writing a text, I'm thinking about a message I'm trying to send to this person. And when you write out your prayers, it can do the same thing. By the way, there are very few prayers in Scripture that are particularly long. I mean, maybe you've heard of people that, well, they pray for 3 hours every morning, which is fantastic. Please pray for me. Add me in that list. But most of the prayers in the Bible are relatively short. So don't be discouraged if you don't spend 3 hours every morning in prayer. Not that you shouldn't. Again, if you have that kind of prayer life, marvelous. Thank you. But write out your prayer. Some of my best times in prayer have been essentially writing letters to God. Pray with others. It's harder to fall asleep praying when you're with other people. Doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's harder to do when you're with a group. And as many of you know, every weekday at 9 a.m. we have Zoom prayer, and you're all invited to participate. The details are in your flyer this morning. It's on the all the details are also every week in the focus that comes out at noon on Wednesdays. But we have Zoom prayer. And in the past, I mean, things have gone a lot of different directions and kind of worked the kinks out and realized, okay, I think we have a rhythm. There's a really good rhythm going on right now. And some people just, they tune in and they don't say anything out loud, and other people will chime in. We pray for one another. We pray for our nation and our world. And It's just a great time. And I know 9 a.m. is like, that's when I start work. Well, great. Remember, prayers work. But for those of you that are available and to join, feel free. And even tomorrow, 9 a.m., most of you aren't working tomorrow. It's a holiday. You're welcome to join in. It's a great blessing. Life groups are another great tool, great time to pray. But as I was saying earlier about relationships, a part of prayer that we often forget about is this idea of listening. If you've ever had a friend or a so-called friend that did all the talking and never listened, you probably watched that relationship diminish over time to the point where it's like, I can't stand that person. Because we don't like to be around people that are always talking. Yes, I'm conscientious that I'm giving you a monologue right now, so don't tune me out, please. But listen, every relationship has a give and take. We talk, we listen, we talk, we listen. Pastor Rich Viotis had this interesting statement I found this week. He said that a lot of Christians, they want to have a Costco relationship with God. We'd rather have stuff in bulk so as to not come back to God so often. But we can't live without daily dependence. I prayed last week. That's good, right? Jesus told us to pray for our daily bread. Paul told us to pray without ceasing. My marriage would be in trouble if I ever said to my wife, I took you out on a date last year. We should be good. Right? Oh, she's giving me a... I don't want that. So how about this week? We go on a date, baby. Wednesday. Let's celebrate our 32nd anniversary Wednesday. Okay, we're gonna do this. That's all for her, ladies and gentlemen. That's all for her. So prayer is the primary work of God's people. He wants to do life with you. The creator of the universe wants to be your friend, wants to engage with you. I want to share one final tool before we close with the Lord's Prayer. Kind of an appropriate way to close today, I think. Lectio 365. I mentioned this once before, but I have to tell you, in almost 32 years of marriage, this one tool has been, I think, our favorite tool to do together. She does a lot of spiritual stuff. I do a lot of spiritual stuff. Together has been a challenge at times, partly because, well, I'm up here and she's down there sometimes. But Lectio 365, this free app, it's a totally free app, has been really, really helpful for us. Each morning, there's a devotional that you can read or you can listen to. It's about 10 minutes. Each evening, there's a devotional that you can read or listen to. It's also about 10 minutes. And sometimes we do them independently if our schedules don't mix, but oftentimes we'll do it together. And it's just a powerful way to meditate on God's word, to be fully present with the Lord, and to pray. And there's like some guided prayer times kind of interspersed with this. It's like Bible and prayer. It's pretty hard to describe, except that it's been a really powerful tool for us. And they often talk about pray, pause to be still, to rejoice and reflect, to ask for God's help, and then to yield to His will. I know I'm going through all that like really fast. You don't have to necessarily write that down. But the Lectio 365 app, I commend it to you. It may just be another tool to help you pray, to help your relationship with God. You know, there's so much that can be said about prayer, and so much has been said. It is work. It is the primary work of God's people. It's what we are to be doing constantly, because this whole thing is about a relationship with God. It's how we do life with God, and that relationship is at the core of the meaning of life. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. So Bobby McFerrin said, "Don't worry, be happy." But Martin Luther said, pray, and let God worry. Don't you love that? Pray and let God worry. So family, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to close with the prayer that Jesus taught all of us to pray. His followers said, how are we supposed to pray? Teach us to pray, Lord. And I want to just highlight the fact that the very first word gives a cue about this prayer. And if we can have that on the screen, it begins with our Father. So evidently, Jesus wanted us to pray together, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's Zoom prayer, whether it's a Sunday gathering like this, that we are to pray as a family together. It doesn't mean you can't pray by yourself, obviously. Jesus went alone and prayed often. But when his friends wanted a model, he taught them, our Father. So let's pray together, family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.